Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. If you missed our earlier program, you got to catch it. Go to VFNTV.com. You can download the podcast. You can just so many different ways to be able to see it. But understanding what's going on in America, and you'll be really surprised. There is a strategy, a detailed strategy. It's been going on for quite some time, but it's coming to a crescendo here. And the goal of it is to be able to destroy the middle class so you can destroy the nation. Mm-hmm. And in detail, it's talked about. All the sources are there for you. You can share it with your friends. Please share it with your friends, because if we find out what's going on, when we know it, we can pray about it. We can get active in it. And faith without works is dead, that we can get busy and begin to share it with our friends. And then they actually get educated in the context of what's going on. And all of a sudden, we're not destroyed because we have the knowledge of what's happening. Make sure you get it. Join me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience on the Gulf Coast. We're just so honored to be able to be there in your living rooms or wherever you have us from 5 to 6, Monday through Friday, hoping to be able to encourage you and kind of give you a light perspective. Jesus commanded us to be the light of the world. So we're kind of looking at the light of what God's word would have to say about it, and to just having a great time. We really love our audience and hearing feedback from you. And we're excited about, you know, the just breaking boundaries with all of our Facebook connections around the world. Mm-hmm. And social media is pretty an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, we have friends now all over the country, especially country and the world, but a lot of them are joining us in the Middle East and Asia, and it's just so awesome to see people coming on from India and commenting and, you know, clicking. It's pretty cool.
I hope we get a chance to talk about today. We're going to talk about this particular thing called the law and one of the tactics, the fourth tactics of Saul Alinsky, to be able to understand what's happening, but also kind of give us some concepts and understand what's taking place in the Middle East with why it was such a big deal for Israel to just quickly stop what they're doing and say, hey, Egypt's got a great idea. Let's have this peace talk here, right?
Yeah. You know, right now, just days ago, because things are changing all the time, Egypt stepped up to the plate to broker a peace deal between Hamas and Israel. And Hamas just rejected it, totally. I mean, here they are, the opportunity for peace, and they totally reject it. But a lot of people don't understand the story behind the story, if you will, why Hamas rejected it. You got to go all the way back to what happened. Hamas allegedly is a militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood.
So we're going to be talking about that. Okay. Covering all those details.
Yeah. So we're going to share more about that, what happened, the breakdown, and where we are today.
Right. And we're also going to be talking about, hopefully get this aerodynamic word from Rick Joyner. It is pretty profound. Rick Joyner is very obviously apostolic. He's governmental. He has people around him that brings great wisdom. It kind of helps having a couple of encounters with God and walking through heaven. Huh. But sharing some very logical viewpoints of what's taking place and how in this particular prophetic word, which is, what's the title of that word that he titled it? The thermodynamics of
Bedlam on the border.
Bedlam on the border, he said. And that, think about this. Any nation that loses its control over its borders loses their, they don't exist
anymore.
They
don't exist as a nation.
Anymore. That's what he talks about.
Done.
And if you go back to the prophetic word delivered by John Paul Jackson in 2008, he says they'll find a fault line in the borders, and that's what's happening today. And so we have to secure our borders. And he talks about it. We'll be talking about it, but it's not wrong for you to expect the president of the United States to protect our borders, because that's his number one job. that's their number one job. That's what you're supposed to. I know that we don't read our Constitution, but that's the number one job of the president, to protect our borders, to make sure they're secure, so that you can actually have that middle class.
That's right.
It's like, what are you doing? It's like every single Saul Alinsky. Clarid and Piven. Got it. And so we'll be talking about that. And Chuck Pierce, as we mentioned earlier, we're hopefully going to be able to share this. I don't know if it's going to be have time or not, but about the time, he talks about a prophetic word being given out, a time to choose your wars carefully. Because what's going on right now is borders. Across the world, notice it's all about borders, and wars change borders. And we need to find out and know that which borders we need to stand for. Our personal borders, relationship borders, our doctrine borders, our biblical worldview borders, mm-hmm. and our actual borders on our country. And Israel, as a matter of fact, they have Operation Standing on the Edge or Protecting the Edge.
Protective Edge.
It's Operation Protective Borders, what they're doing. That's mm-hmm. what it's called. And as we speak, remember to pray for Israel. Missiles are being fired over them as we speak. And God's looking for someone to stand in the gap. And all you got to do is just say, dear God, protect them from that missile. Download that app, Red Alert Israel. Red Alert Israel is what it's called. Search for it on your app store. Go to VFNTV.com and you can find it there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There are those who claim that your ministry is intolerant and may even threaten the freedom of others.
Freedom is fragile and costly and must be defended by work and by faith and even by blood.
Now, your ministry reaches more people than the evening news, and I need you to get up there and announce that you fully support this bill.
I cannot water down the gospel to advance anybody's political agenda.
Let's talk of persecution. It's going to die, and who's going to be left standing? You are!
You cannot legislate the power of God.
He's not on board.
Mr. Luther, do you mind if we get a picture with my daughter?
Big smile. Excellent.
The girl is dead, John. And they're saying that you killed her.
I didn't kill anybody.
They're watching for you.
I didn't know where else to go.
You're going to be charged with first-degree murder.
I just want to see justice served.
I need your help.
Your husband is a fugitive.
He is coming home to this family.
I have a dream to unite the traditions of faith with one voice.
The arms of God aren't as far away as you might think.
Mr. President,
John Luther is entirely your misfortune.
People are looking for a symbol. We'll get back up when they're knocked down.
Get your people out there and do so quietly.
They can't silence the truth.
Sometimes in a war, there's collateral damage for the greater good.
In you I put my trust. If there's any iniquity in my hands, let my enemy pursue me and overtake me. Let him trample my life into the earth. Take away a man's right to speak his mind in a country founded on that very principle. You don't really have a country now, do you?
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
It's one of the most significant decisions you'll ever make. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller, and we're talking about the person you choose to marry. Here's Gary Thomas.
A good marriage is like a gift that keeps on giving. I have been blessed literally every day of my life because of one decision I made as a single man that I wanted to marry Lisa. And I've seen others that have to carry a burden literally every day of their life because they made a foolish marital choice. Mm-hmm. You know, if you buy a house you don't like, well, you'll take a financial hit, but eventually you can save up and move into another neighborhood. If you get a car that's a lemon, you trade it in and you count your losses. Marriage isn't like that. It changes who you are. It becomes a part of your life. And if singles want to make one wise decision in their life next to becoming a Christian, this is the one that has to be thoughtful, with counsel, driven by the truth of Scripture.
More insights from Gary Thomas on our daily 30-minute radio program on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on
sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because you gotta listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for the Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going right into kind of understand, why would Israel even pay attention to Egypt? Why would they even pay attention to Egypt? Because they just are getting their act together, which is a good direction, you know, with Sisi, president there, with Morsi not there anymore. And why would they be negotiating? And it's like, this is really huge. As John was talking to me yesterday about how relevant it was for Egypt to begin to enter back into that relationship with Israel, and why Hamas turned it down. John, talk to us, man.
Well, yeah, you know, Egypt began to broker a deal with Hamas, between Hamas and Israel, for peace. And Israel accepted it, but Hamas rejected it. And the issue behind all of that is that you have to know the story behind the story. And not too long ago, you know, Hamas is allegedly the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. They occupy the Gaza Strip. And basically, the Muslim Brotherhood became empowered in Egypt by our president. He went to Cairo, Egypt.
Well, he played a role in it. You know, he went to the Cairo speech, and he invited reportedly 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood to that particular meeting.
Of which were outlawed in that country by the then president.
Right. Of course, the president of Egypt didn't show up either, but right, the 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood did. And then he painted a picture how Islam invented math. You know, and and the language, human language, or something, and that he was going to defend Islam. Was it
stereotypes
of Islam? Yeah. No matter where, as the president of the United States was going to. So I guess he kind of did.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah. I mean, they say if a president just shows up, I mean, things change. Attention mm-hmm. goes there. Mm-hmm. And if the president showed up on the border right now with all these children, that the attention would go to the border. And I guess showing up in Cairo, giving a speech,
first international
president
speech
of Egypt not coming, 8 members of outlawed Muslim Brotherhood showing up, and mysteriously they become president of Egypt. But not only that, we begin to remove any reference to radical Islam or Muslim Brotherhood in our FBI, CIA, according to Michelle Bachmann. Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay,
all right.
Get it?
I could see where somebody could draw the conclusion.
Yeah, bless
that, and I could see why that, according to Pat Robinson, that he has a 72% approval rating with American Muslims now. I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can see
makes
that.
Sense.
Although it's 52% of the population thinks it's doing a terrible job, 72% of American Muslims are just, you know, kind of pumped about that.
And happy about the whole situation.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, Hamas is an irritant right now in the Gaza, and they're financially been financially backed by others, but hugely financially backed by Iran, which we all know are haters of Israel and are enriching uranium for a nuclear weapon. But here's the deal. Well,
so you're even talking also about Iran, who wrote a letter to the president, and I'm sure that Valerie had to at some point touch it.
I'm sure.
Valerie Jarrett, you know, she's right there. I mean, this lady that has men bowing down to her on this little picture of her.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Maybe you can see it now. I don't know. Maybe they'll put it up. This is on her desk, and she is just the confidant of the president, to the point that her job is, she says, is to go around Congress. And so not only, okay, you can say, okay, the president had the letter on his desk, but you know that Valerie saw that letter
And what letter am I talking about? According to even him later on, he talks about it. The Green Party in Iran during the Arab Springs, they wrote a letter to say, listen, you know, you were with Bobby and you were with Jennifer. You know, you helped out in Iraq. You helped out in this other places with the Arab Springs, you know, Bahrain or whatever it is. Can you come help us? And there was no response. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like sitting there like a bill laid on the desk of a president that becomes a law if he doesn't do anything after 10 days. It just sat there silently while people were being beat and women were being raped in the streets, why radical Islam was clamping down and the Ayatollah was doing what they were doing and Ahmadinejad was the president at that particular time. And they didn't respond at all. And then when you find out that Valerie was born there, I mean, you know, I was born in the place. I don't think much about the place that I was, you know, I mean, I think a lot about it, but I just don't, it's not on my mind a lot. But if I was born in Iran, I would pay attention to the Green Party writing, which was the people who saying, help us get out from under this religious oppression like you're doing these other. Right. And Valerie, not only did not the president not respond, but Valerie didn't respond to her quote own people where she was born to be able to say to the Iranian folks where, you know, she was probably very young and don't, you know, remember all that, I would guess, but she's obviously got some tight relationship there mm-hmm. because for some reason they didn't think it was worthwhile. But now you're saying that Iran is funding, I guess reports are, you know, mm-hmm. allegedly, you know, you didn't see their books or nothing, giving money to Hamas. The reports according to the IDF and Jerusalem Post says that these drones that they're seeing come over, mm-hmm. being launched from Hamas over Israel, are Iranian drones.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just makes you wonder, well, was Valerie flying that drone?
it's occupied by 1.75 people. They don't make a lot of money. They don't.
How many?
Have 1.75 million.
But it's only three blocks, so it's pretty packed.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't even generate enough. So all their money has to come from outside sources, aid, charity, at one time.
Boats from Turkey.
Yeah, I mean, all sorts of stuff. At one time, according to Wikipedia, Saudi Arabia was financing them.
Yeah.
But it's only at a limited. It's only been here till the last recent years that Iran has really been inflating, I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars into Hamas.
I would think about that if you look at the Islamic faith, and this is, what is the tax, the temple tax, the
jizya.
Yeah, jizya that you heard the president say, and you can go on the VFN Torch and hear him say it, that he's trying to get where the jizya can be tax deductible nonprofit so that somebody of the Muslim faith, it's Islamic, can, when they give their jizya, well, you know, a Christian would say, when I give my tithe to the Lord, offerings and stuff, it's tax exempt.
Right.
But when they give their jizya to their temple, then it would be tax deductible. He said, I'm working on that. And the problem with that is...
Just a small problem.
This is a small little problem. Just a small problem. Small problem. But this may answer what's going on in Hamas. It's because part of it has to go to jihad. Mm-hmm. Part of that, that's the reason why they didn't get it passed yet.
Yeah.
Because part of it goes to war. It's not that they couldn't have a tax-exempt status, based on what I'm understanding, is the fact that you can't fund a war against America. But think about, why would Saudi Arabia give money to Hamas? Could it be that's part of their jizya? That's their percentage? I think it's 1/6 of the money.
It's part of charitable contributions. They have charitable contributions.
And they
that's
have to fund, you have to fund jihad accordingly. And so that would be funding jihad. So they would be loyal. You say, why does somebody seem bipolar in their responses? Well, it's not bipolar to somebody who believes that 1/6 or whatever percentage of it has to go to jihad.
And if you have a crew, if you will, if you have a team that's willing to step up to the plate and be militant and be that arm for you, why not fund them?
Right. Right, right. And so that would be probably according to their tenets of their faith.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's important to understand. Just don't call things crazy. It's like, this is kind of making jizza sense. Is it not?
Making sense out of dollars.
Because how is somebody so small getting so much money? They're the jihad factor.
Yeah.
Hamas is the jihad factor. Yeah. Hezbollah is the jihad factor. A percentage of our money, we got to go to orphans, we got to go to homeless, and we got to go to jihad.
Yeah.
Right?
While they can blame it on the Hamas, it's not us. It's Hamas.
Right, right. We just made we just gave them an offering. We had no idea what they were going to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, okay. It's making sense now, yeah, how you're connecting.
And understanding Hamas too. You know, and again, this is sourced by Wikipedia. They talk about the articles of their charter, and in Article 7, this is what reportedly it said.
There being Hamas's charter.
Correct.
According to the resources on Wikipedia.
Correct. The day of judgment will not come until Muslims fight the Jews, killing
what,
the Jews.
Say it again? Wait, what?
This is in their
charter of Hamas.
Article 7.
The ones that our president is saying you need to negotiate with.
Exactly.
The one that the Palestinian government merged their government with.
Absolutely.
Can we read it slower? This is pretty big because what you just say?
The day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews, when the Jew will hide behind the stones and trees. The stones and trees will say, "O Muslim, O Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill me."
Pause and think. Selah.
Yeah.
So understand then the mindset of a loyalist to the Quran, to a radical Islam, is then chaos, war, bloodshed, battle is what brings their savior back.
Yeah.
Out of the Mecca hole. And the 12th Iman, so then they see that this is how they actually please their God, by killing God's chosen folks, mm-hmm. killing Jews and yeah. Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's more.
So, but think about this. Let's pause for a moment. Then, so then a rock, they're saying that a rock will go, "Hey, look under this rock. Mm-hmm. There's Pat, right? Yeah.
Kill him."
And so this is their driving force. So if anybody ever told me, "Hey, you need to go have a cup of coffee and negotiate a peace treaty with somebody who's trying to kill me," you actually are for their annihilation
yeah.
of me, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to get me to it's like, you know, Mrs. Hamas and Mr. Jew, it's like, "Y'all need to get married." It's like, it's not going to be a good marriage. Mm-mm. She's going to try to annihilate you.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be bad. "No, just get along. You know, y'all could work out a peace treaty. Go to marriage counseling." Hamas can never marry and will never marry Israel. And Israel would actually allow Arabs to live, and they do, in Israel, with the most freest Arabs in the Middle East. Reports are definitely the most freest Muslims in the Middle East live in Israel because it's a democracy. It's free.
Yeah.
So, okay, I mean, this is huge what you're saying here.
Yeah, their charter.
So these ones firing these missiles, that's their charter.
That's their end game.
So it makes sense why they're firing the missiles.
That's their end game, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The charter continues to say, and this was issued in 1988, and it basically outlines the organization's position on some issues.
Hamas's.
It identifies that Hamas as the Muslim Brotherhood in Palestine, and declares its members to be Muslims who, quote, "fear God and raise the banner of jihad in the face of oppressors," end quote. The charter states that our struggle against the Jew is very great and very serious, and calls for the eventual creation of an Islamic state in Palestine in place of Israel and the Palestinian authorities, and the obliteration or dissolution of Israel.
So wait a minute. So you're talking about ISIS is doing that.
Yeah.
So if you bring ISIS together with the Far East, ISIS with Syria and Iraq, and you come all the way here to the Far West to Palestinians and Hamas and Palestinians, they'd want to make that whole, that's Palestine to them.
Not just that, but Hamas now wants to take if they take the West Bank with the Palestinian Authority,
which is on the east side of Israel.
Right. Their idea is to occupy that, and to, while they occupy it, completely take Israel completely out. It's not like I want to take that piece of land and say we want to live in peace as neighbors. No, their end game is we want to occupy that land because eventually we're going to push you out of the rest of Israel.
And they feel they have to kill the Jews and the Christians, or quote, the infidels, so that their savior will come back. The 12th Iman will come back out of Mecca. That's why they walk around that hole. We're not going to, hopefully there'll be a related article on this, that you cannot respect Jesus. You actually have to make him the Lord of your life. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Erkin Kenner said
yes.
that.
Mm-hmm.
That's their end game. This is their playbook. Kill the Jew, take over the land, and basically eradicate them. So now when Egypt comes in to broker this deal, you figure, well, what's, you know, okay, why would you not do that? Well, don't forget that it was the Muslim.
Why would Hamas not go in? Because Israel said, yeah, this is great.
Hey, we'll do it, no problem.
Yeah.
Understand that the Muslim Brotherhood basically had Mubarak, who was the president of Egypt for 30 years, had him removed. They had elections in which...
Well, and he actually outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood. It was illegal to actually activate and be the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt up until that point.
Right.
Up until the Cairo speech.
Interesting.
Up until the Cairo speech of the president.
Yeah. And okay. shortly after that, Mubarak was removed, put on trial. They had an election.
And John Paul Jackson prophesied in 2008. He said, when you see the president of Egypt go down, it all begins.
Yep.
And that's 2008 when he prophesied that. So it wasn't these. And it happened. It all began to happen just like dominoes once.
Just like the prophetic word came out. Yep. That was the beginning of the prophetic
story. Which shows you God's in control.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. So he's removed. They have elections. And guess what? A Muslim Brotherhood candidate wins, Morsi, and he gets into office. Well, as a result of him being into office, several things dramatically change, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, which again is all connected to
persecution
to Hamas.
Of Jews and Christians. When Morsi's in, immediately jizya started getting paid.
Churches began being torched. Christians began persecuted, and their constitution
crucified.
Well, yeah. Their constitution was thrown out, suspended, and they were trying to implement Sharia law.
Which is the ultimate goal of the Muslim Brotherhood. They believe that you got to crank it up, max it out, and make a caliphate.
Yeah.
So that's their goal, yeah.
1 year almost to the date that Morsi, which is a Muslim Brotherhood candidate, was elected president, the people in Egypt revolted. They you know...
Well, they were shocked at us. They were shocked that we actually participated.
That's next.
Okay.
they got him out, and in the streets, one of the largest presentations, we may even have a picture available for you, but they're in the streets with banners and posters saying, we love Americans, but the president supports terrorism. Obama is supporting terrorism.
Which is supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. And according to Michelle Bachmann, we've actually Hillary Clinton's personal assistant is the daughter of one of the leaders. Uma.
That's her name, Uma.
Uma is the daughter of one of the strong leaders of mother and father, strong leader in the Muslim Brotherhood.
Brother and sisterhood, yeah.
Yeah, and then they had, according to Michelle Bachmann, removed every reference to Muslim Brotherhood and then brought one of the members on the advisory committee for Homeland Security. I mean, we are in covenant.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lord has shown, and I don't have the source of that, but a covenant in the basement of the White House was shown, and obviously not the basement, just how God shows things, made a covenant with the Muslim Brotherhood. Turkey's done it. Palestinians have done it. We tried to do it. The leaders tried to do it to Egypt, but they said, no, we're not going to have it. Which shows you, if we stand up like Egyptians did and say, no, and we can do that. We are actually in a democracy. We're not trying to work our way towards a democracy. They're trying to work us out of one. And so we can stand up. I know we're going to go to a break, and we'll be talking more on this in just a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us, is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, He said, go be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, but you're actually bringing light into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, Rick Joyner and the vision about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace, in your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are.
And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers, and so we're deceiving ourselves. Because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. Mm. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. Mm. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on. Because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. Mm. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted. I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this. Yes, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. Hmm. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's turn, turn, turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. Mm-hmm. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen. You need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. Iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. John is talking with us, and we're talking about the Middle East. How does this make sense? Why would Israel push pause and say, let's go with this peace deal out of Egypt? And it's really making sense now.
Yeah.
Really making sense.
You really have to understand the story behind the story. Things don't just happen, especially in the Middle East. There's a ton of context that, you know, brings you to the point of where we are today. And so we're at the point now where the Egyptian people have the largest protest, I think, anywhere in the world. And they actually remove the Muslim Brotherhood from power after just 1 year of being in power. Mm. They arrest the Muslim Brotherhood. They get Morsi out of the presidency.
Sentence some to death.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sentence some to death, for sure. And the persecution and the killing of the Christians and just Sharia.
And they said, why did the president, we know that America, what was the banner say that they had up?
Egyptians love Americans. I believe that Obama supports, your Obama is supporting terrorism.
Terrorism. And because we helped support put a Muslim Brotherhood leader into power. Why, by the way, when Secretary of State came over to negotiate with Hamas, understand her assistant, they knew her, we didn't know who her assistant was really, but they knew who her assistant was because her assistant, Uma, reports are that she is the daughter of two, her mother and father both were large leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
The reports are.
Yeah, her father in the Brotherhood and her mother in the Sisterhood. Her father is now deceased.
I mean, how would that make you feel? You know who that person is. Nobody knows. I mean, and then all of a sudden the Secretary of State shows up, but she knows she's showing up. Everybody else knows this person, they're not listening to Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching Uma, and they're thinking, like, we better be good because she conquered, he's dead. Ha ha. That's what happened in Libya, right?
More Gaddafi,
More Gaddafi. And so you would be focusing on Uma if you're, because you know the Muslim Brotherhood, they're illegal here, and her daughter is right there. We brought their enemy's daughter right there in their faces. Dear Lord, have mercy on America. You know, forgive us, God, for what we've done. And so you're seeing how significant that was when she was negotiating there, which obviously
didn't work.
You think of that she made a, you know, when she went around most travel secretary of the in recent history, you think, well, she caused a lot of problems. But if you understand Saul Alinsky, she may have just set the world up for a transition.
Mm-hmm.
To be fundamentally transformed was George Soros, which believes in a global society with no walls, who is her head, reports are that her head financial person on her steering committee for a potential a future in leadership in America. I mean, they're looking at the world here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, but you're looking at, I'm just thinking about how it had to look too, because they're saying right here, as you can see this picture on your screen, the Egyptians are saying Egyptians love Americans, but your Obama is supporting terrorism. Now I understand.
Yeah. And those are one of the nicer banners. There were other banners that we can't even display, but they were showing their true heartfelt concern. These are citizens.
We have a law that says we will not negotiate with terrorists.
That's right.
Maybe if we just don't call them terrorists anymore, then... You know, we just won't call you a terrorist. We'll change a new narrative over you. We won't call the Muslim Brotherhood dangerous.
Nor do we financially.
We'll call
them
partners. We'll call them partners.
Yeah.
We'll put them on our homeland security.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. It's making sense now.
Yeah. So they remove Morsi 1 year, almost 1 year to the date that he was elected, and they decide to.
So they remove the Muslim Brotherhood.
Remove the Muslim Brotherhood. They want to have open. Right. They want to have open elections, and in this process of bringing stability back to Egypt. And to that border with Israel and Gaza, they elect one of the generals, which is El-Sisi. I think it's his full name is, we'll get it for you, Abdel Fattah El-Sisi. And
call him Sisi's because he makes me that pizza joint called Sisi's Pizza.
But the military has always been used to bring stability, I mean, in that area when they removed Mubarak first. So now they get this new president.
The peace treaty. Because if you would have been watching BFN TV, you would have known that when they came to attack way back when, to attack Israel, Israel took over all of Egypt, and they gave it back to them.
Sure did.
They just said, here you go. Okay, we won't do that no more. Let's just sign a peace treaty. And so they maintained that peace treaty after that. They didn't take their land from them because they wanted to. They actually attacked them, and they had to take it, but they gave Egypt back. Think about that. Israel gave it back, and so now, then the peace treaty.
They had peace on that border. Yes. And I'm sure it doesn't hurt that America has given Egypt $1.3 billion every year to help keep peace there, allegedly. Mm-hmm. But so now you have a new president who wants nothing to do with the Muslim Brotherhood, doesn't want Hamas to be empowered. So
in Egypt.
In Egypt, right. But Gaza's right there. I mean, they're at their, you know.
Their northern border is Gaza.
Yeah, their northern border. So, you know, essentially, Hamas wasn't going to go for it. They realized that they had there was no room for them in that whole negotiation process. Right. But the interesting enough is that Hamas controls the Gaza Strip. This is the same.
Well, the Palestinian government merged with Hamas. So you have Abbas and Hamas.
Right.
Abbas and Hamas. Wow. Abbas and Hamas. So both of them together. Yes.
Yeah. So exactly that. So now if that Palestinian Authority is recognizing the West Bank, which it would already have happened if the Palestinian Authority would have recognized that Israel is their own Jewish state. I mean, they want Israel to pray.
They refuse to acknowledge Israel. Yes.
They want Israel to break a piece of the bread, but they want to deny the bread it actually their piece is coming from.
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, you think about it. So the Palestinian leader Abbas says, "You know, we'll work with Israel, we'll acknowledge Israel, but then they immediately merged with Hamas.
They're
and they knew they merged with the narrative that said, we will never acknowledge Israel.
Exactly.
So they made their decision when they merged to Hamas that they still are the same folks that they were all along.
Yeah. And to the detriment, really, of Israel, the whole world ignores this plain-to-see reality that this is not going to happen.
Right.
And now that the narrative changes, if that was the case, the narrative changes not to just Israel being surrounded and fighting enemies all across their borders, but if the Palestinian state becomes recognized, Israel will be fighting its enemies within its own country, in the South Gaza and in the West Bank in the north, and they're right in the middle of it. It's just not going to happen. Hamas wants to destroy Israel, and Israel wants to just live in peace.
So you think about so that was a big deal for Egypt to negotiate a ceasefire, and with this attack on Israel, their defensive measures to stop the continual attacks on them. And why Israel said yes, because they're used to a 30-year peace treaty they had with this probably General Sisi, who's now President Sisi. And they probably have a great relationship with him, their military forces. And you see why Hamas is going like, you just sentenced some of us to death. You just arrested one of our big leaders, Morsi. So you can see why it's like, this is a positive sign that if Israel and President Sisi are beginning to see where they can have a relationship, those two relationships can be a powerful,
absolutely,
you know, a positive force, you know, in the Middle East, which means this, by the way, America, it means that Muslim Brotherhood did not give up Israel. Our Muslim Brotherhood did not give up Egypt. I mean, they lost it to a people who stood up and said, this is against us. This is not for us. You're trying to destroy us. And they stood up, and yet they're not even a democracy. And they stood up, and the people heard themselves, and they responded, and they did what was right. What does that mean? We are a democracy in America. You can stand up. It's not illegal for you to stand up and be loyal to the Constitution. You have a right to stand up and say, you know, we have a right to exist. We have a right to our opinions. We have a right to go back to the original intent of our nation. We have a right to say, if the Muslim Brotherhood was dangerous and a wants to destroy the people of Egypt, wants to destroy anybody who's not a Muslim, if it wants to destroy Israel, then we have a huge evidentiary reality to say, we don't need them in our homeland security, at least. Hmm. We don't need them. We definitely got to leave the references to these different activities where they've done these harm. And they were illegal in Syria. They were illegal in Egypt because they did so much violence. It was just terrible what they've done. And what you're seeing happen in Turkey, there's a big embrace, reports are, according to CBN, that he's embraced the Muslim Brotherhood. And so this is a big Muslim Brotherhood movement, which is they have five pillars, I believe it is, to it. And one of them is, you know, they want a caliphate. They just want, they believe that, and you can go find out, you know, Muslim Brotherhood 101, I believe it's called. And
we'll make it related.
Torch explains a little simple whiteboard drawing, but their goal is they believe that if everything gets under the Quran and that becomes law and every other law is gone, then everything's going to be better. They believe, unless you're a Jew, unless you're a Christian, it's not going to be good for you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
But so what's happening, man? It's beautiful weather, is it not?
Absolutely. Gorgeous weather. I was in the Bronx the other night, and I'm driving back. And I'm thinking, my gosh, I love nothing like the cool weather. And I was telling Eddie, I could drive over this George Washington Bridge a thousand times and never get tired of looking at the beautiful New York skyline. I mean, it was just like one of them days, you know, it was just like, oh, this is gorgeous.
I'm scarred from that because all I can remember is that poor little egg. Yeah, I just think about the pain and the tragedy that bridge represents.
Is that my goodness, Pat. we're in beautiful Fort Lee, New Jersey, which is the New Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge mm-hmm. before you cross it and head over to Manhattan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at, you know, gorgeous Manhattan as we're, you know, walking around Fort Lee, this actually awesome historic park that's right there, which wars were fought right there. You know what I'm saying? George Washington was right there. It's just amazing. And he says, I'm walking. He says, I crushed. What'd you say I crushed?
Well, you ran up and saw this egg. It fell out of a little nest. This little tweety little bird is going like, oh, my egg. And it kind of
it's like a little caterpillar thing that I stepped on by accident. But you know what? I'll give it to him.
It was an ostrich egg.
Listen, I'll give it to him. He has so much compassion.
I was looking over my shoulder.
He sat down on one knee, and he's like, the egg. Oh, I'm like.
There was so much potential in it, you know, as you can see, there could be future, you know, flocks flying over the community, you know, future pigeon deposits over the statues, you know, and well, think about the city, you know, down in other parts of the country, you know, there's rats and rodents, and obviously they have them too, but they have a different kind of rat in the city that has wings. They fly. Don't feed the rats. And it's like the pigeons just come and they just relieve themselves over everything. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, they'll relieve themselves over you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Just giving you a little update in what happened just in the last few hours in Israel. Around 2:15 a.m. Eastern time, Hamas terrorists were found in an underground tunnel, and the IDF attempted to attack Israel, but the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, they found them and they neutralized them. I had to look that word up. What that means. At 3 a.m. Eastern, the UN requested and agreed upon both sides temporarily cease fire between Israel and Hamas to begin. This should last about 5 hours to be able to bring aid in. I want to say this, Pat, if you could make that available on the our viewers right here, and to see the aid that Israel has been doing. So the UN saying to bring aid in. This is what Israel has done since then. Notice this. Since the beginning of Operation Protective Edge, Israel has brought into Gaza 1,624 tons of gas, 3,854 tons of flour, 6,422,969 liters of gasoline, 31 trucks of medical supplies, and 11,441 tons of other food products. Mm. Look at that while we're talking. Look at this. And so the narrative that's being put out there is the UN has to come in and bring aid. But that's what, you know,
Israel has done on
Israel has
own.
Done on their own as of July the 17th at 4 p.m. their particular time. And so, but they're pausing to bring in some aid there. At 5:55 a.m., another report, the ceasefire proposal by Egypt will go into effect this Friday starting at 6 a.m. That's the report, which is tomorrow, I think. And at 6 a.m. Eastern time, rocket siren, which will be today, maybe, rocket sirens began to sound off as more missile fire was coming in. And at 7 a.m. Eastern time, a moment after the temporary ceasefire ended, they began immediately, code red sirens began to go off and missiles began to come again. This makes sense when you understand what John was talking about, what we're talking about. That this is, they're just going to continue to do this because they believe that this is how they bring back their God. This is how they bring back their 12th Iman. And who they say in the Quran, and you need to see the comparison between the Quran and the Bible at the VFN Torch, but they say that, you know, Jesus is going to come back, that he is a prophet, that you can, quote, respect him, but he has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God, and that he will be the assistant to the one who comes out of that hole in Mecca. right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says. It's written there. And so that's what's happening in Israel. I want to briefly mention about this prophetic word. We're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch. It's a prophetic word by Rick Joyner called The Second Law of Thermodynamics, the bedlam of the borders and what's taking place right here. And man, he just goes in detail,
he nails
right?
It.
In detail. But he talks about the second law of thermodynamics is also called the law of entropy, right? Where all of a sudden things begin to fade away. It deals with energy, but also the principles that the principle that everything in nature trends towards disorder, not order, unless acted on by an outside intelligent force. In other words, if you don't maintain it, if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't work it, if you don't stay over it, and he's talking
bring it into compliance.
Yeah, and that the borders, our borders exist and are maintained because we maintain them.
Yeah.
So just the second law of thermodynamics that he's talking about right here is the fact that we haven't maintained our borders. We haven't maintained a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, he goes through a whole list of things that's going on. But he does say in this particular word, and we got to remember this, is, you know, we got to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing, of course, is our Lord mm-hmm. And what his original intent was for this nation. But he does say, when any government in history could no longer defend its borders, then its very time, its existence will be short. Without a major change of direction, very fast, our time as a republic will soon be over. Mm. This is what Rick Joyner is saying. And it's like, think about it. If you're on a ship and you're going out to sea, and all of a sudden you start seeing water come in the ship when it's supposed to be on the outside of the ship. You're supposed to be floating in the water, right?
That's a clue.
It's like your time of floating on the water is almost over. I mean, you still will have a ship, but it will be under the water.
That's right.
And he's saying once the borders of your ship start doing this and you don't maintain it, you're going down. You're going under. And he goes on also, he says, either way, the refusal to defend our borders is not only an impeachable offense, it's actually a criminal offense. Because he's talking about the very reason of why we have, and we're talking about the presidency. We're not talking about the president. The purpose of the president, the executive power, which is weaker than the House power, right. It's always supposed to be, because tyrannical leadership was always the concern of our founding fathers, is is to protect our borders.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, it's an impeachable offense, and it's a criminal offense not to be able to do that. And you can see, I mean, look at these children, how they're being, some are dying, they're being taken into slavery, and reports are just really bad what's happening to these kids. And it's like, is that our fault? Because we're not maintaining that. Yeah. People have an impression that you can just, you know, thousands, 1,200 a day reports coming over our borders in the South. That's a major, that's talking about the unsinkable Titanic, isn't it?
Sure. And, you know, reports are that was going to happen, and that the compassion of Americans wouldn't allow that to happen. So it would take an advantage of the generosity and the kindness, really, of a lot of believers and Americans that would, you know, reach out to these children. So they continue, let's push it. Let's push a narrative. Let's get them all there.
Hmm. Right. And one of the things he goes on to talks about a particular government, he says, to maintain this power, representative type government, Congress had to be given the purse, the money, the ability to finance everything. And so you think about congressmen, you know, senators, I think, run every 6 years. Mm-hmm. A congressman run every two years.
Yeah.
2 years, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you think, somebody goes, I'm always running. It's because you're always supposed to be replaced.
Right.
Somebody else is supposed to go in there and represent us. Mm-hmm. That's the freshest, most closest accuracy of who we are as a people. And when you see a congressman, like Jeff Miller, that was there confronting the VA of what's going on and the deaths of our vets. That's a congressperson who runs every 2 years, who's the closest to the heartbeat of the folks. And every congressman or woman represents
700,000
people. So that and they have the power to defund something. They can say, you can pass all the laws you want to, but we're not going to give you any money for it.
Without any money, you have no authority because you can't do nothing.
Right. And that's why the president came to, the executive branch came to Congress and started targeting them and using Alinsky tactics on them and making them the enemy. And he said, I want you to fund my stuff. And it's like, that's not supposed to be that way. You're supposed to ask, is this the, you know, go vote on it, go talk about it, bring up the issue and let me know what your vote is. Mm-hmm. Not to make them hate on them and that type of thing. There are representatives.
Or use them and manipulate them. If you're not going to give me the money that I'm requesting, then.
Yeah, just as much as you are our president, you are our congressman, you are our senator. And so you guys are supposed to work this out and according to government. He goes on to say, however, every branch of our government is unraveling into increasing dysfunction. So even their function as counterbalances to each other is beginning to break down. Without a major change in this tragedy, we are headed for an increase of chaos and lawlessness and tyranny. Rick Joyner goes on to say, so what do we do? First of all, never lose hope. All is not lost until all is lost. There is still time to change our direction, recover our losses, and become better and stronger than ever. However, if we do not understand what got us into this crisis, we will not have the wisdom to get out of it or stay out of it in the future. I mean, this is a very good word. We're going to make this available to you. But he talks about it. He says, it may be debatable whether this is being done with intent or not intent, but one of the basic Marxist strategies for bringing down capitalist governments was to overload their welfare system until they collapsed. Mm-hmm. That's a Marxist principle. And then he goes on talking about the children that are on the border. He goes around talking about the failure by fiat. He talks about the Fast and Furious, that we actually delivered weapons reportedly to the Mexican drug lords. He talks about the economic stimulus, how it's wicked. God's word says it's wicked to be bad stewards over money. The BP oil crisis, the IRS scandal, my hard drive crash, the release of lawlessness, NSA spying on us, the Benghazi attack on the U.S. consulate, the Arab Spring backfire, Obamacare rollout fiasco, what was done for hundreds of millions of dollars could have been done for a couple million dollars, the VA scandal, five terrorists, leaders exchanged for one alleged Sergeant Bergdahl.
Deserter?
Deserter, reportedly. Marine Corps combat veteran in Mexico prison, which we talk about, is Andrew.
Taramisi.
And ISIS taking over the major. I mean, on and on. U.S. southern borders on the meltdown. On and on and on. We got to pray. Pray for our country. Prayer should be our most main thing. But then after we pray, faith without works is dead. We got to stand up for God and country in that order, and the Lord will hear our cry.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.